Greetings from Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is January 6, 2019, and you're listening to our evening worship. Our sermon is from our youth pastor, Brother Tim Russell. It's entitled, Hold Fast. So thanks for listening, and we know you will be blessed by the preaching of God's Word.
Amen. Thank you very much, ladies. That's great. Are we good to go here?
I think I'm on.
All right. Well, I am honored to preach tonight, especially after Pastor Waterloo said that he selects his staff because they're not talented and ugly. So I am really thrilled to be here before you tonight. Pastor has a gift. It's a gift. It's the only thing I can think of. No, I am honored to preach tonight. It is youth night. We're not doing a youth gap night afterwards because we're going to have the reception for the I guess the farewell. I don't know what you call it, but the time where we go and hug them and cry and eat cake and try to drown our sorrows in sugar. That's what we're going to do afterwards. And so we're going to do that instead of our gap night activity. Goodbyes are hard for me. I don't like to say goodbye to people. I am a terrible long-distance communicator. You can ask my wife. When we were engaged, it was just not good because I was at Heartland. She was up in Nebraska for one semester right before we got married. And I'm just not good at keeping a good contact with people that I'm not with every single day, you know. And so I don't look forward to saying goodbye to two incredibly dear friends and Brother Christian and Miss Sarah. I love them very much. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and, you know, in almost 7 years that I've been here, I haven't had to say goodbye to a staff member, really. You know, nobody's just left that I've grown so close to. So this is going to be hard. But this guy right there, Brother Christian Saldana, he's been a pretty big part of my life since the summer of 2015. That was the summer that he interned. And I was just kind of going down memory lane, you know, and just reminiscing a little bit of that first time that we met Brother Christian Saldana, and I was afraid that I lost some of the archived photos and footage of that time, but I found it, and I have some pictures that I want to share with you tonight. And I remember when Brother Christian first came, he really was a baby, you know, like baby-faced Brother Christian. I actually have a photo of Brother Christian when he first came. There's Brother Christian with Brother Jose and I when he first came. I think that was his first Sunday here with us, so you can see he really was. He really was just so young back then, just so young. He's grown a lot, and I'm really grateful. There's another photo after this one. This has nothing to do with his internship here. I just found this and thought this was fascinating. This is Brother Christian Saldana. He is a black belt, and he's holding Ninja Turtle swords or knives or whatever. I think they're called size in real life. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about tonight. I just really wanted to share that with the world. So we can go to the next photo. When Brother Christian first came, I tried to warn him. I was brutally honest. I was like, Brother Christian, you know, this is not an easy internship. Like he said last week, I told him. I was really upfront with him, and he still took the internship. That's on him. I told him, it's not a lot of money. It's a lot of work. It's exhausting. When he came, we usually give our interns like a week or two to go see family. He chose to take that right at the beginning of the summer, right after he got out of school. So when he came to our church, I was actually gone doing a vacation Bible school in Chanute, Kansas, with some of our teenagers. And so he arrives at church, and I'm technically responsible to try to help guide him and give him his jobs and everything. All I really did was I was like, hey, listen, I'm going to be out of town. I need you to teach Sunday school for me when you first get here. So he gets to teach Sunday school to a group of teenagers he's never really met before without the youth pastor there to introduce him. And then his first official youth activity right after that really awkward introduction to the youth group is summer camp. And you all know summer camp is about a 14-hour drive. We do it overnight. It is exhausting. That year, we took two buses because we had about 70 people going, which was wonderful. So we took the MCI, which is beautiful and nice, and the girls rode in that. And we also took our yellow bus, which is not watertight, we learned on that trip, because it rained the entire time. And it was like a river. We actually got a little seasick because it was like a little moving river down the middle of the bus as it was raining. And it was also really hot. So I said, we're cracking the windows because I'm not going to let it get all steamy and these guys stink already and we just started. So we had to crack the windows a little bit, which let in more water. It was just a mess. Well, it was a long week. It was a great week, as camp always is. But this is actually a picture on the ride back. This is literally, he was literally sleeping like this. It was just nasty everywhere else. So Brother Christian was literally sleeping in the fetal position to start out his internship here at Central Baptist Church. I mean, what a great way to start. And from that point on, he really just constantly looked worn out. We'll look at the next picture. This is Brother Christian just at the fireworks stand, because that was the next thing that we do. It was like, hey, welcome to the fireworks stand. So needless to say, after the first month here at Central Baptist Church, Brother Christian was just done. Like, he was just so worn out. I do remember that about him. It was really fun. And I enjoy that. But one of my favorite memories, because Christian was just so tired and worn out, we had really just put him through it. His birthday was on July 21st. And on July 21st, it was just a normal day in the office. Christian Saldana shows up to work. and nobody says a thing. We didn't say that it was his birthday. We didn't take him to lunch. We didn't give him a card. We said nothing the entire day. At the end of the workday, about 4:30 or something, I'm like, hey, Christian, Heather said that we'll have a little bit extra food tonight if you want to come over for dinner. Just all casually. I could see the disappointment in his face. I was like, Christian, do you have anything going on tonight? Anything going on today special? No. I got nothing. It was just sad. It was really sad. I mean, it was his birthday, for crying out loud. But little did he know, we'd actually planned a surprise birthday party for him. So he actually, so depressed, he shows up like 15 minutes late to our house for dinner because he just has nothing to live for at this point because we forgot his birthday and he's exhausted from this ridiculous internship. And he shows up and we have a house full of people. We actually bought him a piñata and some mini Hispanic flags. We made him a cake and everything. I actually have a picture, and better yet, I have a video. This is our piñata. So this is the video. We'll start playing it here. This is Brother Christian with a random log in my backyard about to hit a piñata. Josh Knott just left him out to dry there. He spun him in circles. And this is Brother Jose. Brother Jose is an expert at piñatas, so he's over here. He's actually singing the piñata song for Brother Christian. And we had a wonderful time. So we tried to make the day a little bit better for him. This is Kevin Bragg harassing Brother Christian, not letting him get a good hit. It was beautiful. So we had a great time. We love Brother Christian very, very much. As you can tell, I don't think we would ever try to humiliate him at all. Well, Brother Christian definitely became family during that summer, though. He really did. Really just found a special place in our hearts. Became a brother to me. Man, come on. This is supposed to be funny. I'm trying not to get emotional. Go and show the next picture. And, you can show the video again. This is Brother Christian actually with Grayson, because Grayson was born that summer, which added to the chaos. Literally, we're just stuck in the hospital, and I'm like, Christian, just do all these extra things for me now because I have a baby. But Christian really became a part of the family, and I love that guy. I'm going to miss him very dearly. And I will say this, even though he's from California, he's a city boy, we did break him by the end of the summer. The last photo is Brother Christian as a true Okie. So We finally broke him at the end of the summer. Exactly. So it took a few months. Thank you, Brother Jeremy. You can go ahead and take those away. But no, we love Brother Christian. We're so grateful for him and Miss Sarah. So grateful that God brought Sarah into Christian's life. And the friendship, the love we have for them is really wonderful. Tonight's message is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be more of a charge. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And you can go and stand with me. We're going to read a couple verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, as you find your place in your Bibles. As I was trying to think what I'd preach tonight, you know, I was praying about it, and I was thinking I just finished 1 Timothy. It would be natural to go into 2 Timothy, and I was still just kind of praying and thinking, what would I preach? And as I was reading the first chapter of 2 Timothy, God really spoke to my heart. As I was thinking about Brother Christian and Miss Sarah departing, the message contained in the first chapter of 2 Timothy is so perfect. It's so perfect for the situation that we face tonight. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read together. I'll read aloud as you look there in your Bibles. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So far, very, you know, traditional introduction as far as letters go in this day. He introduces himself as the author of the letter. He introduces Timothy as the recipient of the letter. And then in verses 3 and 4, he really expresses his love for Timothy, his relationship with him. Because notice, he calls Timothy his beloved son. Timothy wasn't Paul's biological son, but Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Paul had invested so much time and energy and passion into this young man's life. He was like a son to him. And he even says in verse 4 that he wants to see him again. He wants to be reunited. But that's just the way it is sometimes in life, and especially in God's ministry. God sends us different places. And Paul says, I love you, brother. I love you, son, more specifically. And I want to be with you. But since he couldn't be with him, he's writing this letter. And he gives Timothy a charge beginning in verse number 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound doctrine, form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good things which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Let's go ahead and pray, and you can be seated. Dear Father, I pray, Lord, that you just be with this message tonight. Bless these words. I pray, Lord, that you would just use these words to be an encouragement to Brother Christian and Miss Sarah, and then, of course, to the rest of our church family tonight. I pray you'd work in our hearts, work through me tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What Paul does here in the beginning of this letter is he reminds Timothy of three things. He reminds Timothy of three things. And the purpose of these reminders is because Paul knows what Timothy is dealing with at his church right now, in his ministry. He knows the difficulties. He knows how overwhelming it is. He knows what Timothy's going through. And because Paul cares about Timothy, he writes this letter. And he starts it with these reminders. The first reminder is this. He tells Timothy to remember where he came from. Remember where you came from, he says. Because in verse 5, he reminds him of that faith that dwells in him. But it didn't just start with him. It didn't come to him on his own. No, it started with his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. He says, Timothy, you have a godly heritage. Timothy, you have a great upbringing. I know your mom. I know your grandma. His father's not really mentioned. We don't know. I mean, honestly, from a physical standpoint, Timothy's life doesn't seem that great because we don't really hear much about his father. I don't know if he passed away when Timothy was young or if he just left the family. But all we really ever hear about is Timothy, his mother, and his grandmother. And Paul doesn't dwell on the fact that maybe he comes from a broken home or the fact that he grew up without a father. But Paul dwells on this fact. Timothy, you had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who cared about you, who invested in you, who made sure that you loved God, who made sure that you knew the scriptures, who made sure that you were growing up in church where you needed to be. You have a godly heritage. And as I think of Brother Christian, you know, getting ready to leave here, I think there's a similar relationship with our church and the people here and our love for Brother Christian. Again, it's been since 2015 that he came into our lives, that God brought him here to Central Baptist Church. And we've been very close ever since that. He would come back to visit often. He would even stay here periodically at different times, especially over breaks and such. He was part of our family. And it's not going to be easy to see Brother Christian leave. But what is exciting, Brother Christian, is that you have a godly heritage. If you've never heard Brother Christian's testimony, you need to. You need to sit down with him sometime, or maybe you just need to write it up or something for us. I don't know, but Brother Christian's testimony is wonderful. Just the way God worked is such a beautiful picture of God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's sovereignty in his life. It's so wonderful, and it's a great demonstration of the godly heritage that Brother Christian has in his life, because Brother Christian isn't where he is today by himself, and he knows that, and this is just a reminder of that. Brother Christian has a godly mother who loved him and prayed for him and made sure that he was doing what was right, whether he wanted to or not. Brother Christian has a great home church that he comes from, which he's blessed to go back and work at there in Temecula, California, with a great pastor and a great youth pastor there, Brother Bill Wrench and Brother Ryan Wrench. And those men poured their hearts and lives into Brother Christian. Then he gets to go to Heartland Baptist Bible College, where he meets professors and others who invest in him. And then he gets to come to Central Baptist Church, and he gets to minister alongside us. And I know, especially working with Pastor Waterloo, Pastor Waterloo is one of the best mentors in the world. I am so grateful that we get to work for such a wise and godly man like Pastor John Waterloo. And he has taught us so much. And I know for Brother Christian's sake, he has learned so much. We've had conversations about things we talked to Pastor about, things that we learned and things that helped us develop and mature as men and as ministers of the gospel. Brother Christian, you have a godly heritage. Don't forget that. As you go into ministry and as you're serving, and there's going to be times you're going to feel overwhelmed. You're going to feel very stressed out at times. You're going to feel alone at times, but don't forget the godly heritage. Don't forget the people that poured their hearts and lives into you, and they did that for a reason. They did that so that you could go and do likewise. They did that so that you could touch people's lives and hearts. And the same goes for every single person in this room. Not everybody here has a perfect upbringing. Not everyone here comes from a Christian home. But that doesn't mean you don't have a godly heritage. Because there was somebody, there had to be somebody who invested in your life to get you to this point. God, that's the awesome thing about what God does with the gospel. He uses people to reach people, doesn't he? It's so beautiful and so wonderful how he does that. So think for a minute. Who are those people who are part of your godly heritage? It could be your mother or father. It could be a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a bus driver, a bus worker. That's how my mom got to church. My mom came to church because one of her friends worked on the bus route at her little church there in Georgia. And she invited my mom as a teenager to attend church for the first time, a Baptist church for the first time, I should say. And because of that, my mom got saved. And because of that, she met my dad at a friend's wedding at that church. Because of that, they got married and they raised me and my sisters in church. That's part of my godly heritage. But it wouldn't have happened if my mom didn't have that woman in her life who cared about her, who was part of her godly heritage. Who is it in your life that's invested in you? Remember those people. They invested in you for a reason. They care about you. They love you. I know it breaks my heart to see a lot of people that they kind of hold grudges and bitterness towards people in their past, towards people who hurt them some different way or through their words said something that was cutting. But instead of dwelling on those bad memories, why don't we think back on the good things that those people invested in our lives? So instead of looking back on our parents and being bitter about the rules they had, and instead of being bitter about all the them forcing us to come to church, we need to look back and say, I'm glad they made me come to church. I remember as a child, I really struggled with my parents. They were very strict. They had very strict rules and expectations for me. And I remember being very bitter towards them many times, especially as a teenager, because I would see my friends and I would see the lifestyles they had and I would see the things that they were allowed to do, and I would be jealous and I would be frustrated with my parents. But now looking back, reflecting on the life that I have now, I am so grateful to my parents. I am indebted to my parents because they protected me from so much hurt, from so much pain. So young people, be grateful for your parents. Your parents who are forcing you to be in church tonight, they don't do it because they hate you and because they want to torture you. And this is the most effective way of torture they could think up, all right? You're here because your parents love you. Everyone else here who has a Sunday school teacher, a mentor, their pastor investing in you, I want you to understand this. I know this from personal experience. When someone gives their lives to ministry, to serving people, we don't do this because we want to hurt you. We don't do what we do because we want to make you miserable and sad and angry. We do what we do because we love you. We're not perfect. Nobody is. So yeah, maybe a Sunday school teacher hurt you or offended you. Maybe a pastor in the past did something that upset you. Maybe your youth pastor or an old youth worker or whoever it was at some old church upset you and hurt you. I'm pretty confident for most people, I can't speak to every situation, but for most people who give themselves to the ministry, they do it because they love people, but they're still people. They're still not perfect. So let's not dwell on imperfections. That's not what Paul's encouraging Timothy to do. He's not saying, let's think back to your mom and your grandma. Let's think about all the things they did wrong when they were raising you, Timothy. Let's talk for a moment about the things that your mom said that honestly weren't really true. Let's think about things that your grandma did. Now, your grandma wasn't as perfect as she said. No, that's not what Timothy does. That's not what Paul does for Timothy here. He says, no, Timothy, you have a godly heritage. Your mom and your mom and grandma may not have been perfect, but they loved you. They invested in you. They cared about you. Timothy, remember where you came from. Remember the investment those people had in your life. The second thing that Paul tells Timothy here is to remember the significance of your calling. Remember the significance of your calling. In verse number 6, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. See, Paul was a very influential part in Timothy's development and growth as a minister. He was there from the beginning, basically, is what he's saying here. He's like, I prayed over you. I know what God has called you to do. I know the gifts that God has given you. And so he's reminding Timothy, and he goes on this long dissertation basically explaining him, you know, don't be ashamed and rest in the power of God, you know, because he has called us and he's given us this great responsibility in the gospel. And he goes through all of this explanation, and it's so beautiful if you really read the words. And he says in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He says, listen, it's not an easy job, but don't forget your calling, Timothy. If everyone in your church abandons you, don't forget that God has called you to do this. No matter how successful you feel, or no matter how much as much of a failure you might feel, God called you to do this. And God knows what you're going through. And God just expects you to do your job, Timothy. That's really what Paul's trying to tell Timothy to do here. And the same thing again goes for you, Brother Christian. As you go off and you enter the ministry there, it's Temecula, California, it's not always going to be easy. There's going to be times that it's incredibly overwhelming. There's going to be times that you are just tired. There's going to be times that you're going to be burned by people. But don't forget the significance of your calling. You weren't called to have a youth department that has 100 people in it. You weren't called to, you know, become famous and write books. You weren't called to, you know, become some sort of TV personality. See, God called you for the simple task of spreading the gospel in Temecula, California. And that is a grand and glorious task. And as overwhelming as it might feel, and as intense as it might be at times, remember the importance of your calling. See, Paul was telling Timothy these things because he knew the heart of a minister. He knew there would be times where he would be a little discouraged. Because again, this is 2 Timothy. Paul already wrote a whole letter before this, trying to encourage Timothy and trying to help Timothy. He had to write a second letter because things still weren't going great. There were still some issues that needed to be resolved. I can tell you from personal testimony, I've been a youth pastor for 6.5 years. I feel like I've done nothing sometimes. Honestly, especially with teenagers, because you're just recycling the same thing over and over again. It's like, I feel like I just did this like 5 years ago. Why are we doing this all over again? And that's just part of ministry. It's part of especially youth ministry. It just recycles itself, and people are people, and you just have to keep dealing with these things. And it's important to remember the significance, the importance of your calling. And again, everybody in this room has the same calling. We're all called to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might not all be called to serve full time or to go on the mission field overseas away from our family, but we all have an obligation. Church, remember the significance of your calling. It's really easy to get sidetracked and distracted by the affairs of life and by trials and tragedies. It's really easy to get overwhelmed. It's just really easy to get busy. It's really easy to say, I got to support my family, so I got to work overtime and I got to do all this stuff. And we forget what God has called us to do. We forget that God wants us to be faithful to our church. We forget that God wants us to be involved. This is ministry opportunity time where you can sign up on those tables. We still have a ton of blanks back there. We still have tons of opportunities. There are still plenty of opportunities and positions open where we need Sunday school teachers and junior church teachers and helpers and workers and bus drivers and people to vacuum and people to mop and dust. We have so many jobs open because there's a job to be done here. And that is the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's really easy to forget our calling. Because I think sometimes we think, you know, if you're just a church member, you're attending, you're faithful, you're doing what's right, but you feel like, well, that's really the staff's job. Well, no, telling people about Jesus Christ isn't just the staff's job. That's every single believer's job. Don't ever forget the importance and the significance of that calling. Whatever your mission field may be, wherever God has you in your life right now, that's your mission field. Don't forget the significance of your calling. No matter how much you might hate your job, that's your mission field. No matter how overwhelming life is right now, that's your mission field. No matter how, if the bills keep piling in and there's medical crisis and there's all these issues and you're having trouble raising your own children and you're just overwhelmed with life, God has you here for a reason. He has you in Ponca City, Oklahoma, for a specific reason. It's your mission field. You have a job to do. This is just a reminder. It's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell others about his love. And I do love that he tells us here basically that God helps us. He says in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. See, God doesn't want us as Christians to always be defeated. God doesn't want us as ministers of the gospel to walk around depressed constantly. And I'll tell you that 2018 was an incredibly stressful and overwhelming year for me. And I did struggle at times with some depression and just feelings of being overwhelmed and frustration. But this passage was so helpful to me and many others like it to consider this truth right here. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God did not call us so that we could just walk around and be defeated. Because what does a defeated Christian look like to the rest of the world? It's not a great testimony. It's not a great look for the gospel. He says, this is what God has given you. He's given you power and love and a sound mind. He's given you His power through the Holy Spirit. He's shown you His love and His comfort. And He's given you a sound mind, which honestly is just clarity. Isn't it awesome? I don't know if you've ever been here before, but you're just overwhelmed. You're stressed out. And you just take a moment and you pray. And it's incredible how spending a little bit of time in prayer with your Heavenly Father clears your mind. Well, that's because of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God gave you that gift. He doesn't want you to be overwhelmed. He doesn't want you to be stressed out. He doesn't want you to be afraid in your ministry, in your life. He's given you these powers, this power of love and of the Holy Spirit power and of a sound mind. And that's something we all need to carry with us in every area of our lives. And lastly, this isn't supposed to be a long message. So lastly, he tells Timothy in verse 13 to remember true doctrine. Remember true doctrine. A lot of the issues that Timothy was dealing with at his church there did deal with some doctrine, did deal with some misinterpretation of Scripture. It did deal with some people choosing to live lives for themselves instead of living for God. And Timothy was reminding, or Paul was reminding Timothy that he needed to remember what his job revolved around, and it is the Word of God. It's not the gospel according to Timothy. It's not the gospel according to Paul. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are called to preach and live. And it's not just a calling for all ministers. It's a calling for all Christians that we are to remember true doctrine. Brother, Christians going to California. That is a terribly liberal place. It's not going to be easy to keep doing what's right. And to keep trying to be a conservative Christian who loves God's word. Because honestly, here's the reality. A lot of the Bible is not politically correct anymore. It's not. There are a lot of things you're going to say, especially in California, that are going to turn some heads and get some really bad responses. Because the Bible says some things that are truth, that are doctrine, that our world today doesn't want to hear. And it's so important, Brother Christian and every other Christian in this room, we need to remember true doctrine. We need to remember that with our jobs of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, we also have a responsibility to hold true to the Word of God and everything that it says. I'm really excited for Brother Christian. We've had a lot of really good conversations over the years about theological things and doctrinal things, and he's on a great path. And I know he's going to a great church. I know Brother Ryan's not going to let you get away with anything. All right. He's going to keep you, you know, he's going to keep your feet to the fire for sure as well. But it's really important to remember true doctrine. Because it's really, especially in ministry, you want to be successful. And people will judge and grade your ministry according to size, you know, and according to how many visitors you have. And they're going to look at you and say, well, how many people did you have in your class last week? How many people do you have at your church? I mean, that's one of the first questions people always ask me whenever I introduce myself as a youth pastor. Oh, well, how many youth do you have in your Sunday school? That's such a common question. Why? Because people are evaluating your success based off of a number. Right or wrong, it's what people do. And because of that, we're often motivated out of a desire to be successful. Because nobody really wants to be a failure. I am not the first in line to say, I would love to be a failure today. I don't want to be a failure. I do not like failing, okay? Nobody does, if we're honest with ourselves. And out of this desire, especially in ministry, to succeed, it leads so many people to neglecting to true doctrine. To ignoring things that are blatant and obvious in Scripture in order to draw a crowd. Intentionally ignoring things that God says just to make sure that we don't offend anybody in our crowd. There have been times when I'm teaching up in youth class and I'm teaching on a subject and I survey the crowd and I realize if I say what I'm about to say, that teenager could get incredibly upset with me. We've had young people from all walks of life come and visit and attend our church, and it's been a struggle. to say, I have to preach what the Bible says, even though that young person over there might have a problem with it. Thankfully, the Lord has blessed, and that's because the Lord has promised to bless His Word. And the reality is, we're not going to help anybody if we just feed them lies. We're not going to help anybody if we ignore the truth. And while you might offend somebody, and somebody might be turned off because you said something that's in Scripture that's very obvious and very true, and you said something and it contradicts their lifestyle, and they're offended by it, we can't go around trying to please people. We must live our lives seeking to please God. And this, again, this goes for every believer. You're going to be faced with this at work if you haven't been already. Thankfully, we live in the Bible Belt, but even in the Bible Belt, things aren't great when it comes to morality, when it comes to people's understanding of Scripture and belief in the Bible. And there's going to be times where we're just going to have to take a stand for what's right. And that's why Paul said just a few verses earlier, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And you know what? Honestly, there's going to be a little bit of suffering. It's not going to be easy. But that's why we need to remember these things. We need to remember our godly heritage. We need to remember what God's called us to do and that God desires that we do this. And we need to remember the truth. If we can remember those things, God will bless. God will be involved. I know for you, Brother Christian, if you keep on the path of righteousness, you keep following God, you remember those people who invested in your life and the truths that they taught you, you remember true doctrine, you remember your calling, God is going to bless your ministry. I know He will. I know what Brother Christian is capable of. Calvary Baptist Church in Temecula, California is getting one of the best youth pastors in America starting tomorrow. And we're jealous because we love Brother Christian. But we need to remember, everybody, every one of us in this room, we need to remember these three things that Paul told Timothy so that we can be successful in the Christian life. Not always going to be successful according to the world's perspective. But if we want to be successful according to what God's called us to do, we need to remember these three incredibly important things. Let's go ahead and stand together, and we're going to close in prayer. We're going to have a time of fellowship with Brother Christian and Miss Sarah here in just a moment. But let's not forget what God has called us to do. Let's not forget the people God placed in our lives, the investments they've made. Let's not forget true doctrine. Let's not forget that we are obligated to take a stand for the truth. We're going to go and have a word of prayer, and we'll just have a verse or two of a hymn. If you want to pray, if God spoke to your heart, we can pray right now. You can deal with that here at the altar. We can go ahead and pray, and then we'll enter this time of invitation. Dear Father, I just want to thank You so much for Your word, and I want to thank You so much for how You work in our lives and the love that You've showed us over and over again. I want to thank You so much that Your word is full of these reminders to help us when life is tough, when we're overwhelmed, when we're feeling as if we're in a time of suffering and tragedy. Lord, I pray You be with every person in this room and help us to be able to learn to overcome life's difficulties and be successful in the Christian walk as we remember these three things from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And God, of course, I pray that You be with Brother Christian and Miss Sarah as they enter this next phase of their lives and ministry. Lord, I know You're going to bless them. I know You have great things in store for them. I'm so excited to see what You do through them. Help them now just to be faithful, to be strong, to remember their calling, to remember what You have asked them to do and why You asked them to do it. God, I pray You bless this time of invitation. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a verse or two of Have Thine Own Way. If the Lord spoke, You may come.
Have Thine Own Way.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you had the opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. If you desire further information about the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at cbcponca.org.